There are those who say the Christian life is no place for confidence, that we should live our lives head down, uncertain, silent, and avoid anything that says we are certain about our salvation, the ways of God, or even absolute truth. So is this what it looks like to be a Jesus follower?
Let's see what the Bible says about that. Hey, welcome to the podcast. I'm glad you're here for this one. It's going to be great. I'm super excited for it. We're going to be getting into some hot topics here. So I'm really, really looking forward to that. If you would go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube channel, that would help us with exposure, getting into other people's algorithms. That would be great. And then if you would like this video, share it with someone else. That would be awesome. Super glad you're here for this one.
Yeah. So another relevant topic today, this idea of confidence versus arrogance. That's something I think that's very real for Christians. I think there's obviously, as we're going to talk about today, there's this fear of, you know, I don't want to be arrogant, which is good, which is right. But there is a place to be confidence, and confidence can sometimes look like arrogance, but it's not. So we got to know where that is. How do we live in this? How do we walk in this? Because it's an essential part of our faith. So we're excited to have Roseanne with us today. Roseanne's a member of our staff and does a lot of things at Vertical. But one of the things that she does is work with our women's ministry. And she gets up close with the women and their lives. And so this will be relevant and pertinent for women today as well. So I think it's helpful for all of us at the table today, because this subject of confidence versus arrogance, that's very real for women today. I think, you know, when women read the Bible, and maybe they've heard some of the teaching that comes out of some churches, that women are basically supposed to be silent and submissive. They're supposed to be behind the scenes, out of the way, and not talk. And that
is to be the main theme of their Christian walk and their lifestyle, and that there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Yeah, and so that robs them of any kind of confidence. We're going to talk about that today.
Yes.
It's also a relevant discussion because young people are growing up in a culture where they need to have some confidence. And so,
and also in a culture of high arrogance.
Yes.
Culture of people who are prideful about the things that they are and know. And then it's like, well, these people are arrogant with the thing of just like, we're just confident. And so are the Christians supposed to look like that? And so there's some confusion in how all that's supposed to go down.
Yeah. And then it's unique and irrelevant for us as adults because we live in that same culture. And that culture is angry at anyone who opposes their belief, who has anything just different to say. And so it can... With that, they are quick to attack, and it makes the Christian often, sadly, question their confidence. And they lose their confidence, and they end up shrinking away, afraid to say anything, and not knowing what to do. So that's sad, because we as the people of God are called to be salt and light. We're to be an army. We are to be merciful and compassionate, but we're supposed to be truth speakers as well, who stand in the confidence of who we are in Christ. So let's start with some givens today, maybe some things that we are saying and are not saying.
Yeah.
We are not encouraging arrogance.
Yep.
Okay. We're clear that the Bible speaks against all arrogance and pride. We know this because of three things in particular. We know that arrogance was the root of how Lucifer became Satan, of how he fell from heaven because of his arrogance. Isaiah 14 says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. You have said in your heart," and here it is, "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." That is arrogance. That is, I will be lifted up. I will be greater than anyone else. I'll be greater than God. I want all the attention. So, yeah, stay away from arrogance because of this.
Yeah.
But we also know from Scripture that arrogance is what has brought down many people, including great, powerful leaders in history. Even in the book of Daniel, it talks about Nebuchadnezzar. It says Daniel 5:20, But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. You can rise up to all levels of power and grandeur here on earth, but arrogance will take you down immediately. Yes. And then we also know that arrogance is what shuts the door from God blessing, even in our life as Christians. It can happen. 1 Peter 5, then you read this in James as well. It says that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Mm-hmm. So you want to open the door of blessing from heaven, you are humble. If you want to shut that door, then you're arrogant. So I think for all of this, you know, then the Christian says, oh my goodness, that's the last thing I want to do is have anything in me that looks, sounds, feels, resembles any kind of arrogance.
And I think some people view confidence and arrogance as like they're just this far apart in but in reality they are not even really in the same place.
Correct.
Because confidence is one thing and arrogance is another. It's not like, oh, I'm so sure about who I am that all of a sudden now I have a terrible prideful disposition now to where I'm gonna, you know, like push away.
Yeah, you're right. I think that's true. I think Christians think it's just one click away.
Yeah.
And I'm all of a sudden from confidence over an arrogance, but you're right. Mm-hmm. It's not, they're miles apart and they're very different. They may look alike on the outside, but they are miles, they are continents apart in reality. So maybe it would be helpful then to talk about what confidence is. We need to lay some groundwork for what that is. Confidence is a certainty of who I am in God's eyes.
Yes.
And for the believer, who I am because of what Jesus has done for me. And just confident in that, certain in that, secure in that, not wavering in that. And when you have that level of confidence, then you know you're standing, you know who you are, you know who your Father is in heaven. You know what he's given you to do. You know his promises. And as a result, then you have the ability to say yes and no in situations. Mm-hmm. You have the ability to do what, Roseanne, you're talking with the women right now about, draw boundaries in your life that are healthy. You don't live in fear of other people.
That's right.
You're able to walk in God's purpose for your life. And you're driven and you're unashamed of it.
That's right.
You're just confident. You say, this is who I am. This is what God has made me to do. And I walk in this.
Yes.
That's not arrogant. Mm-mm. In fact, it gives you a level of confidence that enables you to do all things. That's what Paul says. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can have much. I can have little. Mm-hmm. I can sit in authority. I can be the servant. I can do a hard job. I can do a menial task. I can do whatever's asked of me because I know who I am.
That's right.
So good.
That's good. Well, then let's put this into some scenarios then, because if you lack confidence, then that leads to some struggles.
Yeah.
And we're invited, we're called, challenged to stand up into who we are in Christ. So, Roseanne, let's start with talking about women. They face a unique set of challenges that are different than men, I think, when it comes to this area of confidence. Let's talk about what happens for a woman who lacks confidence in who she is in Christ. Yeah. And I don't mean just self-motivational talk, you know, and pump yourself up kind of thing, but really understanding who they are in Christ, who he calls them, who he's made them to be. What happens when a woman lacks that confidence? And let's start maybe like in friendships. What happens to a woman who lacks faith confidence?
I think whenever you lack the confidence, you tend to run around in a constant state of anxiety, worry. The voice inside your head is just going 90 miles an hour. Just, you know, rushing thoughts, things like that. But you also don't allow yourself a level of vulnerability in the relationship as well.
That's true.
So you never get to those deeper connections.
Yeah, so let's start with that first part. You said you run around all the time and your mind's racing. Why? What's happening?
Well, because you're not standing on the firm foundation of who you are in Christ. So any word that you say, you may be confident when you first said it, but then after the fact, you're going to think through that 400 times of, oh, what are they going to think of me about that? I shouldn't have said this. Yeah. Like, you know, all sorts of stuff. And I think that can go across any relationship.
You're right.
And that's not just for like people who are crazy, but that's like just people.
People. Well, it's human. Yeah.
And it's not like, just for women. It's men too.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's a unique sense in which a woman in being relational, often with greater relational sensitivity than a man.
Yes.
Yeah.
If she lacks confidence in who she is as a woman, then she's all the time looking at what other women are thinking about her. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah. The comparison game is strong and terrible all at the same time.
Yeah. Heather tells me that as well. And there's this.
That's why it's the comparison trap.
Yes. Yeah. Good. And it is about outward physical.
Yes.
It is about appearance.
Oh, yeah.
But it's also about other things.
It's what they can accomplish, different things that they're able to do, crafts,
their family,
cooking,
the car they drive, their circumstances, even their level of confidence.
Yes. Yeah.
And then the second thing you talked about is then replaying conversations.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And I know this, but I would imagine, again, for someone who's relationally more sensitive, the game is louder, you know, the conversations are faster.
It is.
Yeah. There's this replay of, like you said, what did they think when I said that? I wonder did I say that the right way? I should have said this.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's a game, just like you said. And it's funny for those of you who know what a Rolodex is, Drew, do you know? No.
I mean, I know, but I have zero experience.
Okay. Well, that's okay. Google it later. But it's a Rolodex in your mind that just flips through each one. Because when you find that mistake of what that word might have done, you then think of other situations and other situations that you might have made that same mistake.
And it starts with a lack of confidence.
And it's not like, I don't, you know, some people attribute it to, oh, I have this disorder, that, and this blah, 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 all this.
Yes.
And you can put 6,000 different labels on it
and
try to
Medicate it
away or try
it.
To, yeah,
yes.
exactly. And try Ooh. To work through all sorts of stuff. But at the end of the day, like, have you tried checking out your confidence?
Yes.
You know, because that's
understanding who you are in Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I also find it makes us very over apologetic.
Mm.
We apologize for being in any kind of space.
All right.
Yeah. They smile because I'm an over apologizer. I'm a recovering one. But you are worthy of the space that you're in.
Yeah. Wow. Pause
we
on that for just
drop
a moment.
Some fire in the comment if you would right now.
That's right. Yeah.
That's good though, for real.
All right. Well, let's talk about for women then in church. How does this play out when a woman lacks confidence and she's part of a gathering of believers? What happens there?
I think you're missing out on what you're gonna what you could be absorbing. Mm-hmm. Like say you're in a church service and you're lacking confidence of who you are in Christ, you're going to try to follow the leader of whoever's beside you. You're not going to be fed in the same way.
So you've got your eyes on other people.
Yes.
You're wondering what they're thinking, who's popular, who can I be like, who do I not need to be like?
Yes. Mm-hmm. They're so much holier than I am.
Oof.
Yeah. Their kids behaved. Mine were not behaving when we got into church. They're a better mother than I am. You know, all sorts of stuff.
Ooh.
Another comparison trap that you get stuck in.
All right.
And again, it's just like there's lack of confidence in that, but it's like a downward spiral of lack of confidence. It's not
That's
just
such a
like,
great visual.
Oh, there's a lack, but it's like, no, it's like a downward like
it
funnel
is.
That you're just like very quickly falling down.
Yep.
Yes.
And,
yes.
Yeah. Talk tough. About what that's like in a marriage then. What happens for a woman who lacks her confidence in Christ, which gets into the marriage relationship?
I would say it's like a bomb. It's like a bomb.
Okay.
And not in a good 90s, the bomb kind of way, but when you think of your relationship with your spouse, that's your most vulnerable, hopefully, time. And so all the things that you've lacked confidence in through the day, and then you lack confidence whenever you're at home, it all comes out on them.
Wow.
So then you're going to have relationship issues. You're going to have Well, there's all sorts of things that go into that.
Well, when you said funnel earlier, I thought in terms of a funnel, cloud, a tornado,
yes.
and at home is
where it's going to come out.
The destruction happens.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because there, a woman, she is, that's her most vulnerable space. Mm-hmm. But if she lacks confidence, then she may, her anger may be higher than normal, her frustration higher than normal, her resentment, bitterness, whatever, jealousies, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. But what about in her inner faith? Oddly, that's a place where it plays out as well in a woman's view of who God is and who she is. What does that look like for a woman when she lacks confidence when it comes to matters of faith?
I think that you, you're not honest with yourself about things that are happening as to we can make excuses for why we're not being confident in whatever it is.
Yeah.
And we're not standing firm in the foundation that he's given us. But I think in your faith, if you're not standing in confidence, it just, I don't want to say it's a false faith because that's not the right word, but
it's a distorted faith.
It's a distorted faith. Yeah. And you never allow yourself to go to those deeper levels. Again, it goes back to you are worthy to the depth that he wants to take you.
Yeah. And again, this is not just a female thing. This is a male thing as well, because if you lack your confidence in Christ, and every time you approach the Bible or church or prayer, you're going to feel beat down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the words of Scripture are not meant to be a beat down to you. They're meant to be life to you.
Yes.
And the face of Jesus is not one with a scorn on it, you know, or a calloused look at you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's one with hope.
Yeah.
But if you're uncertain and insecure, then you'll rarely lift your eyes to him because you're terrified of what his face might actually look like.
You live in a flinch instead of where he actually calls you.
Man, she just...
I know, Roseanne. It's like she's been rehearsing for this.
Man, alive.
Come on, drop
it. It's all him coming out.
Loving
it's good.
It.
Yeah. It's good. So what about when a woman is asked to serve then? And that's part of ministry. It's part of relationships and life. What happens to a woman if she lacks confidence and she's asked to serve somewhere?
Well, she's probably going to overcommit. Yeah. And she's going to be like, well, I can do this. I can do all of it.
Okay.
I mean, I've been there a couple of times before.
And I guess the opposite would be true as well.
Or she's not going to commit. Yes.
She just pulls away and says no to everything.
Yes.
And pulls away. She's worse than a wallflower at that moment because she can't do it. She thinks, she's convinced herself she can't do anything.
Yeah.
She's not worthy. She's not gifted. She's not smart enough, not talented enough, not relational enough, not enough.
Yes. Not pretty enough. Not any of that.
Yeah.
There's so many reasons that flow through your head. It's the, your, what is it?
Here it comes.
Yourself. No. You're your own worst enemy. You're your own worst enemy. And that's the voice in your head, just giving you all these things that are not truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you've been talking to women lately in the Women's Bible Study about boundaries. What happens to a woman when she lacks confidence in Christ? What happens to boundaries?
Is your life is chaos. You're constantly living a life that you're fulfilling other people's needs, other people's desires, other people's purposes, and not living out what God has called you to do.
Wow.
So good.
So, yeah, you live.
You've convinced yourself you're a doormat.
You've convinced yourself you're a doormat, yeah. And then you wonder why everything seems so out of place.
Like people are walking on you.
Like people are walking. It is so uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so uncomfortable.
And why you're always outside the door.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Now.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Nobody's there to like sweep it off.
Feel beat down.
You feel beat down. Yeah.
Wow. There you go.
Yeah.
Roseanne's going to repeat the next thing. No, I'm kidding. No, but I was going to say, if you're listening to this, guy or girl, because I definitely, you know, can relate to a lot of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just hang on, right? Just hang on, because there is resolve, even though all of these, maybe we just churned some deep waters in you and you're like, hey, back off here, pal. You're a little too close.
Yeah. Stick with us.
I like the churning. You got to think about making butter.
There you go.
It takes time. You got to churn that butter.
The old homesteader.
Respect it. So, Roseanne, you mentioned a few minutes ago that you can relate to a lot of this.
Oh, yeah.
Talk for just a moment about where you are in this process.
Well, I got to go with Truett saying, you know, wait for the churning because, man, on the other side of that is peace and freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And standing in that authority of what he has given you is just, it's excitement. It's joyful. Mm-hmm. And it's, you no longer feel run over.
Yeah. Cause you've been on a podcast with us before and talked about where you were in some of the things you believed and what it produced in your mind, racing thoughts.
Overachiever, overcommitter.
Yes. And it eventually led to physical health issues.
It did, very much.
But what I'm hearing you say is a lot of that began to be resolved, emotional, mental, physical, spiritual, when you began to learn the process of who you are in Christ.
100%. And it was learning who I am, but also knowing and believing it. And then keeping that in place whenever the world or the enemy or any of that try to bring you down from that.
Yeah.
You just keep repeating it to yourself because it's true. It can have so many physical and mental issues that are fully connected with the spiritual.
That's true. Mm-hmm. And the last thing the enemy wants is for you to stand up in that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because when you're weak, it's so much easier for him to just fiddle with everything you've got going on.
Truth.
Yeah.
And it's the first thing Jesus wants you to have.
Yes. It's funny how we have such resistance to the simple. Like he calls you and it's simple to answer and be there, but we make it so difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
More that's fire good. Lines from Roseanne.
Yeah.
Come on now.
That's great. All right. Well, Truett, let's talk about this and young people today because young people are growing up in a culture that says confidence in any kind of black and white truth
is
actually not just offensive. It is on par with a social crime these days.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you seeing as far as young people? What happens when they lack confidence in their life? And we can start with relationships or friendships. What happens when a young person lacks confidence for who they are?
Well, I mean, just from the get-go and the culture that we live in, like whenever there's no objective truth, there's instantly like a hole in the bucket of even a capacity for confidence to where like,
that's good.
As soon as you feel like, okay, I can be confident in this. And it's like, well, that's just your truth. And so it's like, how much can you really rely on that? If it's just something that like, oh, it's just your feelings and that's just the way you're going, you know? And so like the capacity for confidence is at a deficit to start, you know? And so in your friendships, you know, it's going to look like you're afraid to tell someone the truth. You're afraid to stand up for yourself. You're afraid. You're overcome more with fear than you are, you know, anything else. And it's not, it's just a lack of confidence because it's like, I don't even know if that's even possible, you know? And so, in this friendship, my social status is like all that you have whenever you're a teenager, basically. You don't really own, you don't possess very many things, you know, besides your social status and the friends that you have. And so you're trying to do everything you can to like hold on to that, you know? And so it's like, I don't want to say no or confront or whatever, you know, and stand in a fixed truth because I mean, what if everyone leaves me and then what, you know?
Yeah. Cause if you're rejected as a teenager, then
where are you going?
You're done.
Your parents?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. They're so not cool.
They're just,
Well, even the fact that you hear someone else say, well, this is my truth.
Yeah.
That statement alone back to someone means, okay, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
There's multiple truths here.
Yes. Yeah,
unless you're grounded in who you are and what the Bible says and who you are in Christ. Mm-hmm. That statement alone, the fact that someone else has said that will just introduce the swirl right
and that's
your head.
What I'm saying. Like it's instantly like holes in any ounce of confidence that you could have because now in trying to move forward in a friendship like that or those thoughts, doubts, like fears, even whenever they're in your mind, now you're second guessing everything and you're like, what in the world, how do I even relate to people? You know, that's kind of the state at which young people are in friendships and relationships, you know, and so that's really tough. And, you know, like the same for in church now, whenever you move there, and you know, we see teens who lack confidence because of that, you know, they lack confidence in, their being, you you know, in some degrees, you know, there are people who lack confidence in what's even being taught because it's like, well, that sounds like objective and it sounds like it's opposing. And then therefore, what is that going to do about the other people in my life? And what is that going to do about the future? And so it really is totally a you know, shooting yourself in the foot whenever you choose to like believe this subjective truth thing. And there's, again, you'll see some people who are arrogant, who are living in the world of like, this is my truth. And that's like the totally most arrogant thing ever. It's like, yes, I'm going to reject objective truth in general. Right. And I'm going to choose to say everything that I do say and believe and, you know, live out and all this stuff is the real truth. And it's like, well, that's kind of like the most arrogant thing you could possibly say, you know? And so again, it looks like those people are incredibly confident. It looks like those people have things going on and that stuff is attractive, you know, like confidence is an attractive thing. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's why we're seeing a lot of people flock to the people who are seemingly confident, but in reality are arrogant and in reality are hurting. You
it's
know?
True.
When you're not standing in confidence, then those people are then retracting to believe the people who are being arrogant.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Definitely. Definitely.
And then the teen years are challenging enough. And that's where you want your child to learn some maturity and confidence. You want
them to
own responsibility and identity. This is who you are. This is who God has made you to be.
Yeah.
Stand in the confidence of that.
Yeah.
And man, I can't imagine being a teenager today and the stresses on that, of the pressures from the world that tell you, no, you can't stand in that. There's no objective truth. There's no fixed truth. What are you, what are you doing? And then there's this fear of, you know, well, if you say what you believe, you could get canceled.
Yeah.
Get rejected.
Yeah. And you can get hated. You can get like no jobs.
And it's not just a verbal hate. It's
like
social media, text. Exactly. I mean, like it's across the board.
And you're just like, people turning their backs to you. Again, I've said this stat before, especially on Wednesdays, I've been saying it, but, Gen Z, that is those about born in 2012 to about 1999-98, only 4% of Gen Z hold a biblical worldview.
Wow.
4%. That means 96% of Gen Z does not hold a biblical worldview.
Wow.
Which, not that 96% of people don't believe in objective truth.
Right.
But biblical worldview being a basis for morality, a basis for objective truth, and a basis for making decisions and all that stuff. And so that's what I'm saying. Like that just is the, you're setting yourself up for no certainty. I mean, you talk about the firm foundation, you talk about confidence, you talk about identity. Yeah. And it's like, you say that to people and they're like, over my head.
Yeah,
I don't.
The only thing that people have confidence in today is whatever they're feeling in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's what I have confidence in. Yeah. I feel this way right now.
Yeah. Whatever is attractive and whatever will get me the result that I want.
Yeah.
Well, and they also don't want to do the work to see why I'm feeling that way.
Uh-huh.
I read this thing the other day and it said a feeling is kind of like the warning light on your car. Like you need to see what's going on there as to why you're feeling that, but you can't. That's not what you live your life.
It would require slowing down.
It would require slowing down.
That's, I mean, you see a whole lot of stuff about dopamine culture these days and how it's like, you just like, just stay on the high of feeling good. And like, you know, you feed on just things that are produced and you don't know how to, produce, you don't have a source for confidence, you know?
So I'm sure that affects a young person's ability to stand up for convictions, obviously, in the midst of all that. It becomes very challenging.
And it definitely does. And that's where the thing that we've been going big on in the youth is about the idea of like community and about having those that will, you know, stand for you, stand with you, so that you can go out and share and you can go out and share your faith, you know, and talk to others and build other relationships. Because just because 96% of people don't have biblical worldviews does not mean we need to run away from the 96% and just stay hiding in the 4%.
Take heart, I've overcome
even
the world.
Exactly. Yeah. Even more so, we need to be engaging those people.
Yeah.
And so it's standing for the convictions can only happen whenever you have a group that is building confidence within one another.
Yeah. You know? And encourage them to pursue God, pursue the life he has for you, pursue hope, pursue peace. There is a future for you.
Yes. Yeah. And so that's what we are wanting to develop in our youth group is
good.
Is the ability to ask the other people the questions rather than be like, all right, let's try to develop all of the answers for every single bit of Christianity. Because, man, we're going to be spinning our tires for a while.
Yes,
but if we do say, hey, what we can do is we know we have objective truth. We may not know the entire spectrum of it. We may not know all the ins and outs of it, but we can, with the truth, now go and ask others, hey, why do you stand for subjective truth? And then they are going to have to find an answer rather than just staying like we're the ones that are constantly being questioned all the time.
You know? So you're helping students gain their confidence.
Exactly.
Stand up. And to be flat-footed.
Exactly. And to fill the holes in the bucket and say, hey, you can be full of confidence and you can go out into this world and not fear what other people are going to say, do, what I mean,
it's
all this stuff.
That's good.
And not be arrogant of the truth, you know, not be like, you bunch of losers, we're the ones that have it right. And that's not the idea, but the idea is we know we have confidence that this is the truth. We have confidence that this gospel changes lives. We have stories, we have testimonies of people who are encouraging us. Yep. And now we go with courage into the world.
So, that's good. It's powerful. Let's talk about adults because as adults, we live in that same culture.
Mm-hmm.
And that culture is the one pointing their finger back at us and say, I thought you were supposed to be accepting. I thought you were supposed to be loving. I thought you were supposed to be tolerating. I thought you were supposed to be welcoming. I thought you were supposed to be loving. And all of a sudden, believers are just shaken in that moment. They don't know what to say, what to do, and they lose their confidence.
Yes. Especially whenever people are accusing the church, Christians, are like, y'all are so arrogant thinking you have the truth. How come y'all are the ones with the truth and we're not? And then it's like, am I arrogant? Am I in the wrong here?
Yes. You know? And out of fear of arrogance, they turn away from confidence.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's sad. And then you're defeated at that point. You were done.
Yeah.
You've crawled back into your foxhole and you've stopped moving forward.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm. Totally.
So this is where we need to have some more conversations.
Yeah.
How do we do all of this? How do we put this into practice?
Yep.
How do we stand in our confidence in Christ without being arrogant? Again, it's not a click away, as we're going to see.
Uh-huh.
It's nations apart.
Yeah,
if
exactly.
You would. It's worlds apart.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
Let's talk about how we put this into practice.
Go ahead. So I'll ask some questions of some examples of some situations that might sound like, oh, I'm afraid I might sound arrogant, so I might not just say anything, you know?
Yep.
So with this first one, how does all that we've talked about apply to a toxic relationship with your friend group where they're accusing you of being arrogant for whatever reasons, but you are to stand up in confidence? How does all that work out with toxic friendship? You feel like you might sound arrogant, but you need to stand in confidence.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go first.
Okay. I'm ready. All right. So we talked about how arrogance and confidence are continents apart. And I think that the world today, as we were growing up and all sorts of stuff, you're supposed to be polite and you're supposed to be nice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm gonna put out two words of nice versus kind, how they're continents away
as well.
And that's the difference in how to deal with a toxic relationship is that we're not called to be nice.
Mm.
Nice is more out of motive, where am I going to be liked after I make this comment? Am I going to be liked after this statement? But if we're kind, we're being in the character of Christ that he has called us to be.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And so I think that was a big check for myself.
Yeah.
because how many times are you told, play nice, be nice, you know, naughty or nice, all the things.
Where kindness is literally the fruit of the spirit.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's out of truth because it's the fruit of the spirit.
Yeah, exactly. And not because nice, like you're saying, it is totally subjective. Like, hey, play nice. And it's like, nice according to whose standards?
Yes. And the words aren't interchangeable. Like I can't say nice shirt, but also say kind shirt because your shirt is not kind.
True.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
That's good.
So they're not interchangeable.
Love it.
That's good.
Yeah. Love it.
So then you're saying in a relationship that has gotten toxic.
Yeah.
If you have your confidence, you can actually speak up.
You can. Because kindness is from a place of authority as well, because you're speaking from
and
the
confidence.
Fruit of the spirit. Yeah. And confidence. And that's where the authority comes from is in your confidence, or the confidence comes from your authority. There we go. Flip that.
And you're saying that even if there's a toxic relationship, I don't have to stay in it?
You do not have to stay in it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, yo.
Yeah.
That's good.
Come on.
But I thought that was what I'm supposed to do as a Christian.
It's not.
Yeah. But not. You're telling me that we might need to like lay down the law and say, hey,
you just
I'm
might.
Not a doormat.
I think Jesus did a little bit of that.
Come on. He did a lot of that.
That's good. Yeah.
So you're saying you can actually draw boundaries.
You can draw
and
boundaries.
And it be biblical.
And it be biblical, yeah.
Oh.
And there's also relationships that can cause for or call for forgiveness, but not reconciliation.
Mm.
So you have to also draw it there, where sometimes in a toxic friendship, there's going to be times where you can move forward, you can forgive and reconcile.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But there's sometimes where you forgive and you move on. You learn from the situation, you move forward.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Love it. That's good.
Any other thoughts on that?
No, Roseanne covered it
Come
all.
Come on.
That's good.
Yeah.
Sorry for those with headphones, totally just yelled right in your ear.
A little shock.
Just had to wake you up.
So, next. The only thing I'd say, I think we can say about this one that will apply in the others is the culture today has elevated feelings to God status.
Yes.
And so that I think you have to remove and say, no.
Yeah.
Feelings are not Lord.
No. Just like you say, faith don't care about your feelings.
Yeah. And truth is truth. That doesn't mean I become obnoxious and
the arrogant one.
Yeah, destroy people.
Yeah.
But if I have elevated someone else's feelings to God status, then I will never pull away in a healthy way, speak truth, draw boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
I will always cower to the feelings because they have become God status.
Yeah, that's good.
Goodness. I don't know if you're needing this, listener, but I'm glad you're here for it. I'll say
yes.
All right. So get this next one. Hot topic. It's only going to happen more and more and more.
Yep.
How does this idea of confidence and arrogance apply in a church when people with known sinful lifestyles come in with their demand to be tolerated and celebrated and I ain't changing and you just need to let me be the sinful person that I am.
Mm. Yeah.
First of all, my question is, why are you coming to this church? But anyways.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there were people like that who came to Jesus who they wanted some of what he had to offer, but they wanted him to really offer it to them. They wanted they wanted his approval and affirmation. And they were walking in known sin. And the thing is, the people that came to Jesus who had been sinners came in humility. They came to receive what he had.
Yes.
There was another group who looked good on the outside, but were actually sinners of far worse on the inside. And they didn't come in humility. They came in arrogance. They came demanding to be tolerated and celebrated. And Jesus had little tolerance for them. He spoke harsh words to them. Everyone else who came in humility, willing to take up their cross and follow him, he said, come on, let's go.
Yes.
So I think in a church today, we have the same responsibility. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. So if you come in the door and want to be part of the church and you are willing to submit all to Jesus in humility, willing to be trained and learned and follow him, take up your cross, deny yourself and follow him, come on in.
Yes.
I don't care what background you've come from. I don't care what sin you've been a part of.
Yeah.
I don't care what hurt you've walked in, tragedy, trauma, come on in. But when someone comes in the door and they bring their tragedy and their trauma and their arrogance and their sin, and they don't want to leave it, they don't want to lay down their cross or take up their cross and lay down their sin, and they don't want to deny themselves, but they demand to be celebrated and tolerated, I don't think there's a requirement of the church to, for sure, offer them membership, but even to
keep in fellowship.
Keep them in fellowship.
Yeah.
Because that's not consistent with what Jesus offers us.
Yes.
So.
Because just, I would think another just direct application is like the verse that says God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble.
Same thing.
Hey, yo, aren't we supposed to reflect the character of Christ?
Yep.
Yes.
We should in turn resist the proud.
Exactly.
For the one who's proudly walking into our church doors saying, I'm this way and I'm not changing. Mm-hmm. Well, welcome to the resistance because we're going to be pushing you out of here.
Yes.
Just is what it is. But you come in with humility, we will shower grace on you.
Yeah. Yes. And there's plenty of stories like that here at Vertical. There's people who come out of tumultuous backgrounds, horrible sin, but they have humbled themselves.
Crazy stuff.
They have acknowledged their sin.
Yes.
They have changed. Mm-hmm. They have accepted truth and put themselves in situations to receive and continue to be transformed.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we tell those stories. We celebrate those stories. We glorify God with those stories. And we lift up those people because they've humbled themselves.
Yes.
But we've had other people who have come in who refused, and they've held on to their sin and they've held on to their arrogance. And we have had to take steps to ask them to not be a part of the fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all consistent with Christ, with the scripture. It's what we're called to. And it's a tough call for churches today, but it's time to grow up and to where we are.
I was going to say, that's not easy. That's not just hey, just tell them, don't come around here. It's like, and you're not just saying it that just like easily, you know, but it's in a matter of seriousness and it's in a matter of confidence and a matter of confidence, you know, hey, I'm standing from the place of authority, standing from a place of truth, standing on the basis of the Bible.
Yep.
This will not fly around here.
Yes.
And that's what it is.
Yeah. Yes. We cannot allow you to stay in that.
If you want to change
sin.
Yeah. If you want to come on, change.
Yep.
If you don't want to change, you're not going to like the rest of this place.
No.
you know?
And that's not arrogance.
No. That is pure confidence.
That's confidence.
And it will be accused as arrogance. And that's the thing that I think is also tough in these scenarios is you will be accused as arrogant.
Yes.
But only, I think only the individual and those who are, you know, in the group of making this decision, this shouldn't just be a one person making this decision.
Yeah.
But in the group, there is in confidence, we are going to act in this way. Yeah. You know, it's not one person being like, well, I think we should just kick him out, you know, kind of a thing. But
you know, that is what they accused Jesus of though, was ultimate arrogance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You say you're the Son of God. And he says,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what happens.
Sure
you stand in your confidence. You stand in your confidence. There'll be those who
crucified.
Accuse you of arrogance.
Yeah.
And you cannot be afraid of that.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Come on.
This is my
favorite podcast ever. All right. So on a similar one, and just because, you know, Dad here took the majority of this, I'll ask you.
Oh,
come on,
okay.
This one, I'll ask you for this one.
I'm going to stand in confidence.
Come on.
Yes.
All right. So similar. Changing the channel just a little.
Okay.
How does this apply to a family who has one member or multiple members? We can say there's a group of people or an individual who's arrogant, disruptive, demanding, arrogant, prideful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Prideful. Just double down on it.
Mm.
Is the call of the family to just accept them because they're family?
Yeah.
Or do you hold a line? Is that arrogant to hold a line?
Yeah.
Is there confidence in speaking the truth? What you got?
Ooh, well, I think you have to hold the line. I know, easy question, yeah. Not that I have family members that are like this.
Yeah. There's the confidence.
But I think you have to hold the line.
Yeah.
I do, and I think that it goes along kind of with the boundary talk as well, because when you're holding true to what God has called you to be and in confidence, you're also teaching them to have self-control in how they're acting. So if you're standing confident, not allowing this behavior to transpire, then you're also helping them, whether they like it or not, to be able to grow in themselves. And then they have to choose, am I going to come alongside? Am I going to grow? Or am I going to be alone by myself, arrogant and sad?
There you go. And then and it does push to the place of, okay, I'm going to have to change if I want to be a part of that.
I think
exact same thing as in the church illustration where we say, hey, you're prideful. Here's resistance.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is just what it is.
Well, because the church is the family and your body. So it,
come on
it
now.
All
and I think,
together.
You know, it is, you know, if we are to reflect the character of God, we would resist the proud.
Yes.
And I don't see a clause in there where it says asterisk besides if it's the family, you know,
yes.
but it's,
right.
Here it is, resist the proud, give grace to the humble. And in doing so, it will show the proud.
Yes.
There's a way, and it's through humility. Yes. Yeah. So I'm with you on that. And yeah. I don't think you just get the pass just because you have the same blood.
Yes. Yeah.
Sadly.
Yeah, I agree.
Sad.
I think we'd all agree. There's a process involved in that.
Yeah.
You don't just, you know, one family gathering, you make one, you know, blunder.
Oh, yeah. Then you're cut off.
And you're, that's it. You're done.
Yes. No.
But yeah. Over time and over repeated conversations.
Yes.
Counsel.
Yes.
Again. Correction.
Same yes. same way as in the church. You know, yeah, it's exactly. not one person comes in and says an arrogant statement one time. You're like, hey, you know what? You're out of here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. You follow the Matthew 18, all those principles, yeah. they apply, whether it's friendships, church, or family, it's yeah. across the board.
And if they are continual, no, I'm not changing. No, I'm not doing this. Well,
yeah. Yeah. As you know, we like listening to some Mark Driscoll, and we'll be listening to some more of him in upcoming podcasts. But I, one of his shorts that I saw, he said, why is it that we allow often the most obnoxious, arrogant, immature, destructive person to set the agenda for the entire family situation? Why do they get to set the course?
Yeah.
So that doesn't even make sense. You wouldn't do that mm-hmm. in a church. You wouldn't do that in a community. You wouldn't do that in a friendship group. Mm-hmm. So I think the answer applies across the board. Truth mm-hmm. truth is truth. The principle is the principle.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, and that's not arrogant
yeah.
to do that.
No. It's confident.
It is confident. It's
standing on objective truth.
Yes.
And if we as the church are the ones going, hey, there is objective truth, then yes. we better be standing on it in every area we can.
Yes. It's true. Yeah. It's true. All right. So the Bible has a lot to say about finding your confidence, standing in your confidence. The book of Hebrews talks about that. There's a verse in Hebrews 10 that says, do not cast away your confidence, which means it is possible
yeah.
to do.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
he's in that verse, he says, your confidence, which has great reward. There's great reward in your confidence of standing up in who you are in Christ.
Yes.
That's not just a faith talk, a church talk. That's a life talk.
It is, yeah.
You stand up in your confidence of who you are in Christ. There's great reward with that. There's
yes.
there's stability in your own soul, your mm-hmm. own mind, your emotions. Mm-hmm. There's health in your relationships.
Yes.
There's health physically, Roseanne.
Yes, there is. Yeah.
There's life that comes from all of this. So let's spend a little bit of time comparing confidence versus arrogance. I think that will help us even further as we talk, make sure these are not just a click away. These are continents away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's talk about this so we understand the difference. So here's the first one. Confidence is the deep awareness of God's love for me. Mm. And that gives me peace and security and certainty.
Yes.
And out of that, I don't have to be threatened by anybody else's presence, existence, their words, opinion, or even their challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I know how greatly I'm loved.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I don't even have to worry if you don't love me.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's not arrogant.
Yes.
Yep.
That's confident.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so arrogance, on the other hand, however, is incredibly uncertain about their identity before God.
Yeah.
And therefore, they have to overdo themselves to try to get favor from other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They are obnoxious, or they're always talking about their accomplishments, or they're talking about themselves, because they've got to have the favor of other people. If they don't mm-hmm. have the favor of other people, their confidence is shot.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
yes. Just constantly pulling for approval.
Yeah.
And between the two, I find that the first one is so calm.
Yes.
Like you're calm,
yes.
confident.
Yes.
But the second one is just the chaos and the grabbing.
Yeah. Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
It's true. Yep. That's the first example that they're not a click away.
They're not. No.
They're continents away.
Yeah. Yeah.
The person who's arrogant is not because they have too much confidence. It's actually that they lack any confidence
yes.
in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They're uncertain. They're not certain whether their sins are forgiven. They're not certain of whether they stand in a right standing with God or not.
Yes.
They're not certain if they're loved in the moment. Mm. They're not certain if they've done enough. And so they have to put their trophies out on the table for everybody to see. They got to
yes.
talk about them. They got to get everybody to clap about them.
Yes.
They got to tell everybody about them.
Prove.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is arrogance.
Yes.
And exhausting.
True.
Yes.
Second one, confidence is certain of my standing before God, and that gives me peace. Mm. So 1 John 5, 14, 15 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears us. Whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we've asked of him. So someone who's confident knows, I belong to Jesus.
Yes.
Nothing can take me out of his hand. The Father hears me. I have peace. And if I ask what he's already told me I can ask for, I'll always get it. The answer will always be yes.
And it's not
such
constant
comfort.
Yeah, it's not constant change of how God perceives you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or how he's going to strike you down or whatever.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
God doesn't change.
Yeah. That's calm and confidence.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Arrogance, on the other hand, is finding its worth in other people's praise, their own accomplishments, their likability, and the latest good thing they've done.
Yeah.
And so you can't rest.
No.
You got more to produce.
Those are that exhausting.
You got more to post. You got more to produce.
Yes.
You got more to earn. Mm-hmm. You got to do it. And if you don't have it, you're out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That leads to arrogance.
Yeah. It's all about how hard you work, and, mm-hmm. and you will be arrogant because you probably will work hard and you mm-hmm. probably will have results.
Yep.
And
yes.
you are going to be telling and hoping that everyone sees. And whenever they do see or they do acknowledge, then arrogance only goes up.
It
and
does. Like,
yeah.
It's just a momentary relief and then
exactly.
back on it. Yeah.
You can't be in a room and just be quiet and still. No. You got to be proving yourself.
Yes.
You got to get the attention. You got to have everybody talking about you. You got to tell everything you've done because you everything's at stake. Mm. Your worth is at stake. And if you can't get the boast that you need, the boost that you need, you're shot.
Yeah.
That's arrogance.
Yeah.
Continents apart from confidence.
Yes.
A third one. Confidence is actually able to love other people out of their confidence. Mm. It can take even the place of the lowest serving spot if necessary. So I love, again, 1 John, it says, by this we know love because he laid down his life for us. We understand how deeply we're loved because he showed us he laid down his life. And we also ought to lay down our life for the brethren. It's not just a nice suggestion, but it's one that grows out of the other. Yeah. When you know how much you're loved, you'll be able to love other people.
Yes.
You'll give yourself away. You don't have to get brownie points for it.
Yeah.
You don't have to put up a post about it. You just do it.
Yeah.
You quietly do it and you confidently do it. But an arrogant person, they have to tell everybody what they did.
Yes.
They have to get the attention. They have to be celebrated. That's the difference between arrogance and confidence.
Yeah.
Comments?
I mean, I heard something similar to this. Confidence, you could say confidence works from overflow and arrogance works out of overwhelm.
Yeah, nice.
Overflow versus overwhelm.
Or vacuum.
And, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And you will be overwhelmed
yes.
to try to assume all of people's praise. Because
that's
what arrogance is desiring. Yeah. Is
you'll
everyone's
suck the life out of a
admiration.
Relationship in a room.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, I'd also say that it, out of the love comment, that when you're in confidence, you're loving out of how Christ has called you to be. Whenever it's the opposite, you're loving out of obligation.
Because
it's
true.
Out of fear and have to.
Yes. And that will wear you smack dab out.
It will wear you out. Yes. Yes.
All right. Confidence. I trust in what God has said to me and put in my heart.
Mm.
I'm confident in that. I stand in that. 1 John again, by this we know that we abide in him and he is in us because he has given us his spirit.
Yeah.
Deep inside, his spirit is there. He's one with me. And confidence says, I know this and I know he is driving me. He's giving me desires, impulses. He's speaking to me and I'm confident of this.
Yeah.
I don't have to be wishy-washy. I don't have to be uncertain. I don't have to wonder, is that him? Is it not him? I get to a place of confidence about that.
Yes.
But an arrogant person, they are so uncertain of this that if they ever speak and someone challenges them, they lose it.
Yes.
A confident person says, I just know this is what God has said to me.
Mm-hmm.
And 10 people can all oppose him. And
it's like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Jesus has virtually everyone turn away from him and deny him, and he still goes to the cross.
Yeah.
He's still confident. This is what I'm here to do. But an arrogant person, they got to have the room, everybody in favor. And if somebody is not, they can't stand the fact that that one person's not. And they certainly can't stand the fact that the whole room's not.
So, the word that comes to my mind in this one is just control.
Yes.
Because when you have confidence, you have self-control as a fruit of the Spirit. Ooh, but whenever you don't and you're threatened, it's all a lack of control.
Then you got to control everybody else.
And you have to control it, but you're mad because you can't control what they have tried to challenge you with.
Yep.
And it's also your character being challenged, which they're lacking if they're getting these responses.
They're empty.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep. Confidence knows the source of my worth is in Jesus and what he says about me. Again, 1 John, by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God.
It's just one of those verses that just makes you all tingly inside. You know, because he puts all these no's and everything, all these confident words in there, and then he calls you beloved.
He's just so sweet.
He's so sweet. So many reminders, but I love that.
I love, this is one of my favorite verses because I walked in heart condemnation.
Yeah.
And the fact that God is greater than my heart and knows all things, and I can have confidence.
Yeah. Yes.
That was life-changing for me.
And that's the thing, like with this verse right here, it, like the thing I've been thinking as well is just like whenever you start contrasting arrogance and confidence and all the other stuff that we have, it's like it makes the idea of fearing arrogance just like what are we doing?
Yeah.
Like why, these are not, it's not like, oh, I'm so confident in this. I think I'm accidentally arrogant now. It's like, oh shoot, I know God loves me. Am I arrogant about that?
It's funny how fear.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. It's like, that's the thing I think is the big tie with all that is there's a fear of arrogance. Yes.
This is the wall we're tearing down today.
Yes. It's like,
what? It's like he tells us a couple of times in the Bible, do not fear. He does. I think it's 365 times.
Come on.
One for every day.
But it's like, we are fearing arrogance.
Yeah.
But if we just stand in confidence.
Yes.
The fear goes away and the fear, it is revealed as, oh, that's a ridiculous fear because they're not just the same. Yep. They are totally different. It's from a different heart.
Yep.
You know?
It's true. Yeah. An arrogant person, on the other hand, they have an inflated sense of self-worth. They've built that up themselves.
Yeah.
It's not rooted in God's love and forgiveness and redemption.
Yeah.
It's rooted all in their own words, the words they heard other people say, their own version of what life is like. And they have to constantly prove themselves.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so this is where you get people who are narcissistic.
Yes. Yeah.
Because they are obsessive and demanding and have to have the approval of everyone.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's where I think like the idea of confidence kind of gets tangled up in all of this is because you think of an arrogant self, someone who has an inflated sense of worth. They're like, oh, their confidence is in what other people have said about them. I don't think that's the right word. I think it's that their value, the value that they perceive is only based on what other people have said about what they have done. And so it's like a measure of value rather than a measure of confidence. You know what I'm saying?
That's good.
I keep thinking back to the parable from Matthew 7 with the two builders and how when you're in confidence, you're building it on the rock.
Come on now.
When you're arrogant, it's life on sand and you're
That's the picture I've had in my mind as well.
Yes. So good.
Confidence welcomes instruction, correction, discipline, and change.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the constant for the believer who's following Jesus.
Because it makes them more confident.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're not afraid that they're going to be actually accidentally exposed. The rain's going to come and the sand on the, you know, the house that's built on the sand is going to wash away. It's like, no, I know I'm not even standing on my own things I've done, but I'm standing on things that God has done for me and through me. And so come on, help me in building.
Bring it.
Yeah.
But arrogance, on the other hand, they're threatened by any kind of correction, any kind of discipline, and the need to change, because this is an attack on their core.
Yeah. Yes.
They cannot stand that thought.
Yes.
Confidence is able to openly talk about their weaknesses and vulnerabilities. Mm-hmm. They can talk about, this is what I struggle with. This is where I once walked. This is what I have to truly or lean on in truth. This is what I need Jesus for. This is where I am experiencing change today in my life. Yeah. This is what's changing right now by God's grace. They can talk about all of that. They're not afraid.
Yeah.
They're not terrified of the group. They're not terrified of saying those things. But an arrogant person, they can't acknowledge their weakness because that crumbles the core. Mm-hmm. They can't acknowledge what someone else, or they can't acknowledge what they need, where they're growing, what the latest is that God's doing in their life. Instead, man, they are building themselves up. And if you start exposing yourself around them, they're going to take note of every one of your weaknesses.
Yeah.
Because in a horrible way, poking at your weaknesses makes them feel better about themselves.
Yeah.
That's arrogance.
Yeah.
That's not confidence. Mm-mm. Those are continents apart, not a click apart.
Yep.
Yeah.
Our last one is that confidence knows its place in a team, a family, a group, and a church.
Yeah.
We've all been placed in groupings, whether it's a marriage, a family, a Bible study group, or a church. And in all of those, we are just one of a group. We are not it. We are part of it.
Yes. Yeah.
And so a confident person recognizes that. They recognize I'm one voice. They recognize I have a role, and it's not like the other person's role, and they can value all the other players. But arrogance, if they're in a relationship with more than themselves, they will find a way to dominate that relationship.
Yes.
They have to.
Yeah.
And they will guilt and shame and manipulate, mm-hmm. talk down to, insult, do whatever they can because they have to be it in the group.
Yeah.
So confidence is continents apart from arrogance.
Yes.
Yeah.
Confidence we're invited to, arrogance we're told to run from.
Yeah.
So what do you do? Well, after all this, this is some good stuff today.
It's good stuff.
So good.
What do you do? I would say, based on the verses we looked at today, 1 John is a great place to turn to, because 1 John, I used to think 1 John was just all about love. Yeah. It is, but 1 John is about confidence. Mm. You look at the number of times it says, we know.
Yes. mm-hmm.
And so,
and this confidence.
Yes.
We have this confidence.
And when you mix, this is what I know because I'm loved.
Yes.
You win. You're going to be confident.
Confident. Yeah. Yeah.
And get this, 1 John, only 5 chapters. Probably will take you about 17 to 20 minutes to read if you just sat down and read it. You don't have to sit down and be like, okay, I need to analyze every single verse for 15 minutes. That's nice. That's cool. But it will wear you out and make you not want to go to your Bible. And so I would say sometimes it's beneficial to just read larger chunks of scripture so you get the bigger picture of what's going on. That's my two cents on reading the book of 1 John.
And if you can't read all 5, put your Bible out on the counter.
Come on
and
now.
Go by and read
Catch you 2 minutes at a time.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I'd also say have some conversations with believing family and friends about these matters.
Yes.
Talk to them about what God's teaching you. Ask them about what God's teaching them related to this.
And remember, the confidence one welcomes instruction, correction, discipline, and change.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because that is tough right there.
Yeah.
That's good and tough.
Yeah. And if you're so confident and courageous, you might even say, where do you see me between confidence and arrogance? Mm. If you're willing.
And if you're like, I could never ask that. Well, hey, you just answered it yourself, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Or even maybe the line's a little bit longer. Maybe it's between insecurity, confidence, and arrogance.
Yes.
Because those really confidence is the middle where we're supposed to be. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
On one end is insecurity.
Total insecurity.
And on the other end is another continent.
Yeah.
Which is, I would say that Arrogance and insecurity.
It's kind of like a close. Circle.
Aren't too far apart.
Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah.
Because once their arrogance wears off and they haven't been fed, feeding the beast, they go back to insecurity.
They're two communist countries that are actually attached.
Come on now.
Yes. So.
Capitalism.
Yeah.
Here we go. Here we go. And then I would say, as you start to learn who you are in Christ, don't be afraid to stand in that.
Come on now.
Stand up in that.
Yep. Yeah.
And in your confidence, in your authority.
Mm-hmm.
Start practicing that.
Yeah.
You know, we watch our grandchildren grow and they're babies and then they're starting to learn to crawl. They're starting to find their little rhythm.
Yeah.
And then they start standing up and then they start trying to find their confidence to take some steps and then they get that.
Yeah.
And then they start running.
Yeah.
You know, once they learn all of that, do that.
Yeah.
Maybe you're struggling to even just crawl as a believer. Well, keep practicing that.
That's right.
Get your footing. Start standing up. Start taking some steps.
And then pretty soon you'll be sharing with others how you took that same
exactly.
travel.
Yeah. And then finally, I'd say when it comes to this level of confidence, if you're going to exercise this anywhere, exercise it in prayer.
Yeah.
Man, start there.
So good.
1 John tells us that we should be unafraid to ask of God out of confidence.
Because we're loved.
Yes. And because we know his promises. So pray, ask him.
Yeah.
And then start exercising that in spiritual warfare.
Yes.
Start shutting down the enemy. Start shutting down those lies. Start shutting down everything that's kept you from your confidence. What waits for you on the other side of this is power.
Yes, okay. It
is the power of God working in you.
Yes.
Come on. Woo.
It's been good today.
It has been so good.
I appreciate you, Roseanne,
and of course,
Truett, and what God is doing here. So I hope it's been helpful to you, and we'd love to hear your thoughts. If you want to type something in the notes or comments section, let us know what God's doing in you, and then come visit us at Vertical.
Yes.
We're seeing lives changed. Mm-hmm. We're seeing people find their confidence, stand up into who they are in Christ, and they're finding freedom as a result of that. So. Thank you all again for today.
Thank you.
We're going to keep lifting him up and confidently living him out.
Yes,
it's good.
Amen.